Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
Our topic today is a tough one, a controversial one. When you're sick and in need of healing, to which should you turn, your faith or to medical treatments? We hear stories of miraculous healing brought on by prayer alone, yet we're also horrified when people refuse medical treatment and die thinking God would heal them. One of the things I like best about hosting this program is that I get to talk with a man who is really three individuals rolled into one. Dr. Jennings is a medical doctor with studied insights into healing the body. He's also a psychiatrist trained in effective ways to heal the mind. But most important of all, he's a devout Christian who believes in the Creator God and in that often elusive spiritual element called faith. Let's talk with Dr. Jennings about what place he believes faith should have in medical treatments and, just important, what place medical treatment should have in a life of faith. Dr. Jennings is on the road right now. We've got him on the phone. Let's begin, Dr. Jennings, as we often do, with a basic question. What are the advantages of being a Christian sick person?
Well, that's a great question, and I would actually have to say it depends on which brand of Christianity a person is, because Christianity offers great advantages in some aspects, but there are some aspects where Christianity can offer great disadvantages. So Christianity, as you know, is a wide spectrum of beliefs and attitudes, and not all Christianity is equally beneficial.
What brand of Christianity seems to work best? What have you found in your patients, the people that come to you for help? What have you found? What type of faith have you found works best for them? Not denomination, what type of faith?
Yeah, it's a relationship that people have. First off, the key is that people believe in a truly loving God as revealed in Jesus Christ, that is a God that practices the principles of truth, presented in love, leaving people free. We move away from a God construct like that, then toward a God construct of totalitarianism, authoritarianism, punitive, punishing, critical, guilt-inducing God, God where you're not allowed to think. The ideas or constructs of faith, where faith say, when we have faith, we don't ask questions, we don't explore evidence, we don't open our minds to new ideas. Those constructs actually are great disadvantages and increase anxiety, increase the likelihood of more illness and sickness, shut down the opportunity for growth and health. God that we serve is not only our Creator God, but He is the God who is the source of all truth. All truth is on His side, and He has told us to come and reason with Him. And so He wants people to develop a mindset that loves and the truth, is hungry for the truth, and wants to follow the truth wherever it leads. And so a Christian faith that trusts God but also has an open mind to follow the truth as God reveals it to our understanding and apply that truth to our understanding is the best balance, rather than a closed-minded, what some might call a blind faith that doesn't allow one to think or ask questions.
Well, that opens the door then to medical treatments, actually. You're saying that God may be leading you into other areas other than simply, thus saith the Lord, or I pray for it and it's going to happen. If we are supposed to think for ourselves, if God is supposed to lead us places, that could include to the hospital and to a doctor's office, right?
Absolutely. God has given us a brain, and He expects us to use it. He's given us our identity, our individuality, our ability to think and to reason. And it is a gross disservice to God and His glory for human beings to shut down those capacities and function almost no better than a well-trained pet of some kind.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, then Doctor, you have had experience many years in the medical field, and you probably have witnessed what many people would call a miraculous healing, where you couldn't explain it, your medical books couldn't explain it, yet this person got well, and they call it miraculous. What did you call it?
Well, you know, God always works through the law. Remember, God is the creator, not just the creator of the physical substance of the universe. He also created the laws upon which the universe runs, the laws of gravity, the laws of thermodynamics, the laws of physics, the laws of chemistry, the laws in health, which would be the laws of nutrition, the laws of respiration. All these laws God also created. And when God performs a miracle, my understanding is that he's always working in harmony with the laws that he designed the universe to operate upon. Miracles, most of the time, are simply God putting the physiology of someone's anatomy and biology back into harmony with the principles of its original design protocols. And if we had enough awareness of how God designed things to run, we could actually see probably mechanistically how the cells were healed, how the DNA expression changed, how the unhealthy cells were removed. I mean, we could see mechanistically the physiological process through which healing came. The reason that we get wowed by it so much is because we are so ignorant of God, so ignorant of his methods, so ignorant of his design for humanity and our physiology, that it's beyond our comprehension, and so we go, wow, that's incredible. But even today with our science, if we were to go back 2,000 years, and somebody were to have, let's say, a heart attack, and one of the, just a paramedic were to do CPR on that person, and the person revived, what would everybody in 2,000 years think?
Yeah, yeah.
They would
miracle,
think
miraculous.
A resurrection.
Absolutely.
They would think we performed a resurrection, a miracle, just from simple CPR. And if you actually look at the case of a couple of those, like in Elijah in the Old Testament, with the little boy, remember he laid down on top of him and breathed on top of him, and then he revived, remember?
Yep.
Okay.
You know, I've often thought about that, because I look at the miracles of Christ, and I'm trying to find the science behind them. For instance, he puts mud on the eyes of a blind person, and scales fall off. He touches someone, and he puts some kind of potion there. And I was always looking for the science behind it. Is there ever a time, Doctor, and be careful how you answer this, because there are people who are waiting to see how you're going to answer this next question. Is there a time when God works outside the laws of nature to create a miracle in someone's life?
God, as far as I know, God never violates his laws. He doesn't violate his laws. That would be a contradiction of his character, because all of his laws are in harmony with his character. So he always works within harmony with his laws. Doesn't mean we can understand or comprehend how all that works, but God doesn't violate his own nature. It doesn't violate his character. It doesn't violate his laws.
Well, I have learned something already, Doctor, and here's what I'm thinking, Dr. Jennings. The fact that I got up this morning and don't have any pain anywhere, and the fact that I don't have any cancer growing in me, as far as I know, and the fact that I can see clearly and hear clearly and taste food and have bowel movements, these are all actual miraculous events in my life that I think are normal. Am I on the right track here?
Life itself is a miracle of God, absolutely. God took dirt and breathed into the nostrils of dirt and made a living being. That's what it says in Genesis, doesn't it? Formed him out of the dirt of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. So life itself is a miracle that comes from God, and it is something that is sustained by his energy that flows from him through life in this universe. So yes.
My. Well, that's a good lesson for us to learn, listener, right off the bat from Dr. Jennings here. We are living a miracle. The fact that you are hearing this program, the fact that you are breathing without coughing, that is a miracle. And we are being sustained by the very same laws that God uses to heal us. Those same laws can keep us well if we follow the laws. Let's find out when we return some of the laws that we are breaking that put us into a situation where we think we need miraculous healing when all we need is to return to those laws. Our phone lines are open. 800-775-4673 is the number. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Here's Dr. James Markham with your daily heartbeat.
In this world,
there are many pollutants out there. Some of you might be driving and smell all the fumes out there. You might live in polluted cities, and there might be all sorts of things that you're breathing that God didn't want us to have. One of the best biblical treatments we have is getting good oxygen. Now, one of the things I advise my patients do is practice taking deep breaths. Take a deep breath, friend, and hold it for a few seconds and blow it out. Do that 10 times and you'll start to feel the oxygen level go up in your body. The body is very dependent on oxygen. And as we do this, we can get oxygen to the tissues. We think better. We feel better. We can help counteract some of these bad pollutants out there. So try to do some deep breathing exercises today.
If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Welcome to Happy Hank's Hamburger Heaven. May I take your order?
Let me have a double cheeseburger, no onions, medium fries, and a Diet Sprite. Plus, I'm lost. I need some directions if you can help me.
Thank you. That's a double cheeseburger minus the onions, medium fries, Diet Sprite, and enrollment in the Discover Bible Course.
I'm sorry, what?
The Discover Bible Course. You said you wanted directions in life.
No, just to the 101 freeway.
I know. But this is even better. With a Discover Bible Course, you'll know where you're going for eternity. You'll never be lost again. You'll drive down the freeway with a whole new purpose in life.
Okay, I'll try it.
That comes to $4.72 for the food. The Discover Bible Course is free. Please pay at the window.
Thanks.
For your own set of personal directions to eternal life, call 800-775-4673.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're talking with Dr. Jennings. He's on the road on his cell phone talking to us from someplace in Tennessee, up in Crossville, I believe. He's got some appointments up there. And he said, I want to talk on this program today because this subject matter we're talking about is very, very important. That is faith versus medical treatments, which works best, which works. And we're talking about that today with Dr. Jennings. Our phone lines are open, 800-775-4673. If you have a question or comment on this topic, we'd love to hear from you. We'll put you on the air, and you can talk to Dr. Jennings, and he'll be very happy to answer your questions. 800-775-4673. Dr. Jennings, can you give us some examples of when science was underlining some of the miracles that took place, maybe that you've seen or that you've heard about?
You know, in order to do that, we have to talk a little bit about how our biology works and about how cellular function works. And so I hope our class will have to remember a little biology 101 from high school. But okay. If we think about an individual cell has a cell membrane. Inside the cell, each individual cell has little tiny organelles that give the cell its energy and ability to function. And deep inside the cell is the cell nucleus where the DNA is. Everybody's probably familiar with these general concepts. The cells have receptors that on the membrane are constantly monitoring the environment that the cell is in. As the environment changes, the receptors send signals down to the DNA, which changes expression of the DNA, how the proteins are being produced, what kind of chemicals are being produced within the cell. And so the cell is adapting itself to its environment based on the signals that are coming from it. Cancer occurs when cells lose their normal self-governance and begin to reproduce rapidly out of control. That's what happens when cancer occurs. When we put cancer into remission, we reprogram the cell where the cell goes back into its normal operating procedures and reproduces itself like normal. That's when cancer goes into remission. Now, in psychiatry, what I do, we treat patients who have various mental disorders, and what we discovered about the brain cells is that when people have depression, certain genes are turned off that produce proteins that keep our brains healthy. When people are depressed, those genes are no longer being expressed. One of the things that antidepressants do is they send a signal to those receptors in the cell membranes. Those receptors then, inside the cell, through various messengers, communicate to the DNA and turn those genes back on. Those genes get turned back on, and the neurons get healthy. The brain makes new neurons, and depression goes away. What we've discovered is that the receptors that are in the walls of the cell membranes don't respond only to chemical signals like a medication or a neurotransmitter. They respond to energy signals. So if you treat somebody with, there's a treatment now available called a magnetic stimulator. You can put a magnet, an electromagnet, on someone's head. And you stimulate with electromagnetic energy waves, will stimulate those same receptors. Those receptors respond to that energy wave and will go to the, send second messengers down to the DNA and will turn these healthy genes back on based on energy wave signal changes. Now, if you read about some of the miracles in the Bible, like the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment, it says that virtue went out from Jesus, and she was healed. Is it plausible that Jesus knows the right energy wave frequencies, the right energy signatures for the various cells of our body, and he can send energy signals to our cells and reprogram them the way they're supposed to be? I think that's extremely plausible. Don't you?
I absolutely do. And I'm beginning to understand here what you said at the very beginning. You said that God uses the laws of nature. He not only has understanding of them, he also has control of them. Is that a right statement?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so, but because the universe operates on free, let's give something outside this body for a moment. God not only created and understands the law of gravity, he can control the law of gravity. So if you were to jump off a bridge, God has the ability, if he were so inclined, to suspend the law of gravity and let you float to the ground gently. Or he has the ability to let you exercise your freedom, and if you jump off a bridge, experience the painful consequences. We see one example of that in the scriptures when Elisha had the axe head float. Remember the axe head that was in the river? It had it float to the surface. The laws of gravity were being controlled by supernatural forces that are beyond our current ability to explain. But I think one day when Christ comes, or maybe before, we might have some insight into the laws of physics and how that can be achieved. And so I think the same thing happens within our body. God designed our physiology. God knows it intimately. And I think it's not a problem for him to send the proper energy signature signals to the various cells of our body to turn them in the right healthy direction to bring healing if he so chooses. But because we live in a world of freedom, God often allows us to exercise our freedom to abuse our bodies and to experience the consequences of that abuse without his intervention to prevent that. Just as someone jumps off a bridge, God was not going to intervene most of the time to stop the consequences.
Are you saying, Dr. Jennings, that if I knowingly disregard God's laws of health, if I knowingly fill my mind with things that I know are not healthy for my mind and my body with things that are not healthy for my body, that I am in somehow distancing myself from the possibility that God is going to help me?
Not only knowingly, ignorantly. If somebody kidnaps you or tricks you into stepping off of a bridge or blindfolds you and they're playing, pin the tail on the donkey and they have you step off the Empire State Building thinking you're pin the tail on the donkey and you trick you into it and you're doing it ignorantly. Do we really expect that if somebody were to do that, God would intervene and suspend the law of gravity and not have you die?
Yeah.
God doesn't intervene in those ways, does he?
Yeah, he certainly does not. And why should he? God is a hands-off God as far as the choices that we want to make. He has set in motion these laws. And what's so cool about God, and I'm seeing this clearer and clearer as you're talking here, is that God really has placed in our grasp, in our knowledge realm, the laws and the reasoning we need to not have mental illness, to not have physical illness. Am I on the right track here?
To a certain degree, yes, but we have to remember the context. We live in a fallen world with defective bodies that are at least 6,000 years away from God's original design template. And no matter how healthy the lifestyle choices you make, the body we live in is defective and is going to become sick and ill and die of old age if nothing is done. God's goal is not simply to give us mere physical health for 70, 80, 90, 100 years. If you think about the miracles in the New Testament when Christ was walking on earth, as far as we know from the inspired record, all those people he healed are now in the grave.
Yeah.
Okay, he didn't heal them to have just a few more years here. He healed them to inspire their faith so that their hearts would be right with him, so that they will be in the resurrection of the just and have eternal life. So God's focus and his miraculous interventions in our physiology now are always focused on the eternal consequences, not just the 70, 80 years on this earth consequences.
You know, that really does open our minds to allowing God to do what God does and giving him the freedom to make some choices for us. That really does. Our phone lines are open, 800-775-4673, with your questions and comments today on this important topic, 800-775-4673. We have about 5 minutes before our break. I want to touch on this to begin with here, prayer. I know there have been studies done, Dr. Jennings, where people who were prayed for, actually their most recent study I saw, said that they actually got worse because they felt the burden of people praying for them, that they were concerned that those prayers would be for naught, and they actually got worse. Are you a proponent of praying for sick, and if you are, why?
Yeah, absolutely. I think prayer is an essential thing, and it has multiple, there's multiple levels of prayer, multiple reasons why prayer is beneficial. Prayer is beneficial to the one who is praying. When you're conversing with God, your heart and mind is being open to God. Even when you're praying for the health and well-being of another person, your mind is communing with the divine source of all health, and it's all, and the impact of that conversation is going to be positive in your heart and mind to bring you to a more productive life for God on earth. So, number one, prayer is beneficial to the one who's praying. Even when we're angry with God and frustrated with God, as you see David in the Psalms, when he was upset many times, he would talk it out with God, and David was blessed by those conversations, even when he expressed anger and frustration to God. So one, that's one thing. Two, it's good for community. Community comes together when people join themselves together in prayer, and it can build relationships and build a network of common interest. Three, there is this aspect of a war going on a supernatural level between principalities and powers of darkness and God's forces of right. And we see this in multiple places in Scripture where evil powers are working behind the scenes to obstruct the purposes of good. And the power of prayer opens avenues and channels because God's government works on the principles of freedom. He honors the free choices of his intelligent beings. And so when we pray, there's an aspect of that where God honors the prayer of the righteous because he is respecting their free choices, and it opens avenues for God to work. And I think that is true as well. So I think there are aspects where prayer can be beneficial. But then, I don't know if you remember back in the most recent presidential campaign, Hillary and a couple of the other people were running, and somebody asked the question. It was Edwards. Asked the question of Edwards. Do you believe in prayer? Do you believe in power of prayer? And he says, "No, but I pray for my wife every day." And think that through. No, I don't believe in power of prayer, but I pray for my wife every day. Yeah. Well, the more potent question is when somebody asks, "Do you believe in the power of prayer?" Is, well, who are you praying to? You see, we can pray to God, but we can pray to beings other than God too, can't we? And there are many people on this earth that pray diligently every day, millions of people praying every day to someone other than God. And those prayers also have an effect because we become like the God we admire and worship. And when we pray to a God that is not God, it has a negative effect on our lives. And it can bring negative consequences to our development and our minds and our health.
Well, we have a break here, and when we return, we'll talk more about this. Phone lines are open, 800-775-4673. Prayer, it is controversial, especially in times of illness and sick. What good is it? How does it help us? Well, he just identified four areas that is a great help. And I think that you have touched on something we'll expand on our return, and that is belief, that what we believe has tremendous effect on what happens to us when we're sick or when we're well. Stay tuned.
My mom loved the Word of God. She passed that love along to me, and I'm passing it along to my children.
There's truly no greater legacy to give your children than the Word of God. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. Your personal love and familiarity with the Scriptures will be a driving force in sharing it with your children. When God's word fills your heart, you won't be able to wait to pass on the most important thing in the world to your little and big ones. And you'll want your children to do the same. Be sure the first little choice on your to-do list each day is your own heart-filling, soul-refreshing, strength-producing time with your Bible. Choose to do it for yourself and choose to do it for your family. This is Elizabeth George.
With nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, with fierce determination, with uncompromising resolve, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there to touch their spirit, to comfort them, to remind them, to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held, until every battle's won and every song is sung, until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at uso.org.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills, with Dr. Timothy Jennings. We're talking about faith versus medical treatments. Which works best? We've discussed prayer and its power and how it helps and how it doesn't, what we can expect from it. And I think, Dr. Jennings, we need to start talking about now an incredibly complex, I guess, maybe it isn't as I'm talking with you, fact of life in the medical world. It's called the placebo effect. And the placebo effect, why don't you explain to us what it is and what we should know about it?
The placebo effect is the impact that our beliefs have on our physical and mental health, basically. If we believe something, it has physiological changes, the mind's power on the body. And there's the opposite side of that coin, which is the nocebo effect. See, the placebo effect is when positive, good health benefits come from believing good health things. Like if you believe they give you a sugar pill to help with your condition, and you believe it's a real medicine and it's going to get well, and you actually get well, a positive benefit is called the placebo effect. The nocebo effect is the opposite, when you believe something bad and you have unhealthy consequences that occur to you because of the belief in something bad that is about to happen to you. And both of these effects are the mind's effect over the body. And it is quite powerful. It is quite well documented, and it's something to be taken very seriously, that what we believe changes us physiologically. It also changes our neurobiology. It changes our brain circuitry. It changes our health.
And we're talking about a very, very, yeah, I want you to, we're talking about a very, very incredibly powerful thing here. And I'm trying to figure out, doctor, as I hear you talk about this, what place it has in the medical field. I mean, if belief was strong enough, why do we even need to have any kind of medicine other than sugar pills?
Well, because the belief can't fix everything. You know, believing that your leg isn't broken isn't going to set the bone. Believing that your child doesn't have meningitis isn't going to get the bacteria out of the meninges of the child's nervous system. So belief alone isn't going to fix all things. But there are lots of particularly the metabolic problems that we suffer with, the autoimmune problems that we suffer with, are affected. When we live in a high anxiety state, we believe things that keep ourselves worked up, stressed up, anxious, fearful, we actually fire in our brain the fear centers, which activate the stress centers, which increase the stress hormones, as well as inflammatory factors, which cause a whole cascade of metabolic consequences, increasing the risk of heart attacks, strokes, obesity, diabetes, autoimmune disease, bone density problems. And so when we believe thoughts that keep us in a sense of peace, a sense of well-being without a lot of anxiety and fear, we reverse that cascade and we have better physiological health from that. That's just the stress response. There's the recorded account by four different practitioners, physicians, 80 years ago of a guy named Vance Vanders, who in an Alabama cemetery one night was confronted by a local witch doctor who wafted a bottle of strong, unpleasant-smelling liquid in front of his face and told him that he was about to die and no one can save him. Basically, within 24 hours, he took to the bed and became sick and deteriorated. He stopped eating. He was wasting away. They took him to the hospital. Doctors were unable to find any cause for his symptoms. He was declining, getting worse. And no one knew what was going on until the wife told the doctors what had happened. So one of the doctors went out, thought very carefully what to do. He came in the next day and told the family that he had lured the witch doctor back to the cemetery, had choked him against a tree, demanding how the curse worked, and told the patient that the witch doctor had rubbed lizard eggs into the guy's stomach, and a lizard was inside his stomach, causing all these problems. And then the nurse came in, who had been previously coached on what to do, and brought in a very powerful vomiting-inducing drug. And they gave this guy this drug. He began to vomit, and the doctor slipped out of his hand a lizard into the vomit and told him, "See, the curse has been lifted." The guy immediately was relieved, fell into a deep sleep, woke up, began eating, and was completely cured.
My. I'm trying to place this incredible, powerful element that you just talked about in your hands, Dr. Jennings. Do you ever use the placebo effect in dealing with people?
Every doctor uses the placebo effect. Every doctor
really
does. The placebo effect is, in fact, this is one of the things that is being well documented now in medicine. There was a case documented of a guy named Sam Schumann in the 1970s who was diagnosed with end-stage liver cancer and was told he had just a few months to live. And sure enough, within a few months, he died. At autopsy, they found the doctors were wrong. The guy only had a small little tumor that had not spread, and he did not die of liver cancer. He died of believing he was dying of liver cancer.
Wow.
And so doctors, when they tell patients things and the patients believe it, that is either a placebo or a nocebo effect. Either way, when the patient believes what the doctor says, it has an impact on that patient's life. And so when doctors say to patients, I'm going to start you in medicine X. Now, you're likely to experience this symptom, blah, 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 and the patient experiences that symptom. Is it really from the medicine, or is it being told by the doctor that they're going to experience that medicine? Because in the drug studies, when they randomize them into two groups, and one group gets a placebo, a sugar pill, and the other get the real medicine, and they tell them they might have these side effects, just as many people in many of these studies will experience on the placebo the same side effects as the active substance.
I have to laugh at myself at this, Dr. Jennings, because you have hit the nail on the head. A couple of weeks ago, I had to have some minor surgery on an abscess on my eyelid, and the doctor gave me some antibiotics to take, and I started reading the possible side effects that came with the little piece of paper that talked about the possible side effects of this antibiotics. I started reading it, but then I stopped because I knew myself enough that if I read those side effects, I would have those side effects. And so I stopped reading it, and I had very few side effects from that. So I know what you're talking about here. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we turn that around, shouldn't the doctors like you, shouldn't they be the most positive creatures on earth when they deal with patients?
Absolutely. And most doctors are learning this today, to always be encouraging and uplifting and give positive feedback as best they can. Even when they have to give negative news, they couch it in hope. What we've discovered is a lot of surgeons will not do surgery on patients who believe that they're going to die in surgery. If they're convinced they're going to die in surgery, they often do die in surgery, if they're convinced that they will. So they won't do surgery on people who think they're going to die because of that belief. what we've discovered in brain chemistry is that when people have the placebo effect, the good response, that a couple of brain neurotransmitters increase. One is the brain neurotransmitter dopamine, and dopamine is, if you want to know when you probably had the highest surges of dopamine in your life, it was when you first fell in love. When you first fell in love and you were walking on air, you were having huge dopamine surges in your life. Dopamine is a feel-good brain chemical. And when we have the placebo effect, the brain releases more dopamine, and it also releases simultaneously brain-produced opioids, and enkephalins and endorphins. Those are the things you get after a runner's high. When a runner runs and you get that high feeling, you feel really good all over, those are the chemicals being released. The brain releases those chemicals when people believe the placebo effect and they're getting a good medicine effect. Conversely, when they have the nocebo effect, when they believe something bad is happening, like the examples I gave here just a moment ago, the brain has reduced amounts of both dopamine and the brain-produced opioids. And so we actually do get physiologically more pain, more aches. We don't feel as good over our body. And those negative feelings from our body, because we have reduced brain chemicals that make us feel good, cause us to have more belief that something bad is happening to us, which only reinforces the negative cascade downward.
800-775-4673. If you have a question or comment on this topic, we'd love to hear from you. 800-775-4673. Dr. Jennings, I called today's program Faith Versus Medical Treatments. Maybe that's a misnomer. Maybe I'm not saying this right. What should be our take on faith and medical treatments?
Well, you know, in James, when the James wrote about, if you have someone sick, you are to call the elders together, anoint them with pray, and anoint them with oil. In Bible times, oil was not a sacrament. See, people read that today and they think, oh, have a sacramental anointing where you put the sacred oil on and pray. Or that is not what was happening in Scripture. That was not a sacrament. What was happening in Scripture is that oil was a medicinal. Oil was when someone is wounded, they put oil on the wounds. And so what the apostle is saying is, when someone's sick, call the brethren together, use the medical knowledge you know how, take the medicines that are best for your circumstance, but also pray. Do both. We are remiss if we simply pray and don't do what we know within science is physiologically good for our bodies, and we're also remiss if we simply do the science and don't pray.
We have shown on this program that medical treatments affect our ability to think and reason and be clearer in thought, which means medical treatments should be able to increase our ability to have faith. Can't we say that instead of saying faith versus medical treatments, we should say on this program that we need to have faith in medical treatments? Am I right?
I think our faith is always in God, but we also then, our faith in God is in faith then in the laws that he made and in the science that he has established his universe to run upon, and therefore when medical practices are in harmony with good science and the principles that God made, then we can have confidence that good outcomes are going to happen, or faith that good outcomes are going to happen, because we're working in harmony with God's design for life and health.
Yes, all right, okay. So we need to back up as patients, as sick people. We need to back up and get the broader picture here, okay? So far I've learned on this program today that God loves us. God has set laws in motion to heal us, and those laws are made powerful in our belief in them, and also in doctors like Dr. Jennings and others who have that type of understanding of these laws and how they can apply to our particular problem. And when they apply them, if we have faith in them, then healing is possible. And I think that's very encouraging.
Let me interrupt here and say there's another aspect of this too that you have to keep in mind. If you pray every day for healthy teeth and you have faith you'll have healthy teeth, but you refuse to brush and floss, your faith will not overcome the laws of science. Your teeth are still going to rot.
Okay, all right. So it takes the three. I think we're saying there it takes our action. We need to do what we know we should be doing. We need to have trust in God's love for us and the natural laws he put in place, and also the fact that medical treatments may be part of his program for us. I think a lot of people miss that, and I think that we need to have a joining together of these three elements, the faith, the medical treatments, and our involvement in our own health. Very important stuff. 800-775-4673 is the number. 1-800-775-4673. When we come back, more with Dr. Jennings, so don't go away.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs, but Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs. And now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
I was lucky growing up. I had a strong family and support system to tell me that I could be somebody, that I could do something important after high school. But as I got ready to graduate, I thought, what about other kids who don't have that kind of support? Hi, I'm Regina Grant. I'm 19 years old and a member of the Omaha Nation. I decided to start a mentoring program for Native students. We help kids see that a college education is something they can achieve and be successful in. We also teach them about their Native heritage and where they come from. The young people who volunteer to be mentors in our program commit just 1 hour a week of their time. It's not much time, but it really makes a difference. Couldn't you find 1 hour a week to volunteer in something you believe in? So many people in every community need our help. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. We're talking about faith versus medical treatments, which works best. And as you've discovered in the last 45 minutes, the answer to that is yes, they both work, and they're both necessary for optimum healing and optimum health. Now, Dr. Jennings, here's a question I got to ask you. This is important. Can lack of faith prevent natural healing?
Yeah, absolutely. Because ultimately, the mind controls what happens in the body. And if you believe, just like the example I gave of the guy who thought he was voodoo cursed, if you believe something bad is happening to you, I didn't give you another example. There's a case report of a young man who was in a study for antidepressants. He was discouraged. At one night, he decided that he was going to end his life, and so he took his entire overdose of the medication he had been given. And after a little while thinking about it, he became afraid that he was going to die and then changed his mind, which often happens. And so he called his girlfriend. They took him to the ER, but his blood pressure was bottoming out. His heart rate was slowing. He was not responding. They gave him multiple liters of fluid and blood pressure meds, and he couldn't get his blood pressure up. And they called the doctor who was involved in his study, and because of the seriousness of the circumstance, they needed to know what he was on to try and reverse the effect of this. And when they broke the study protocols to discover what he was really on, he was actually only on a placebo, the sugar pill. Oh, he wasn't on the real medicine. And as soon as they told him, within minutes, his blood pressure reversed, his heart rate picked up, and he was well. So here is a case where his negative belief, or you could say his faith that he had poisoned himself, rather than yes. lack of faith, he had great faith that he was dying, was overcoming all the medical interventions to try and stabilize him.
I think that it's important for us to realize, listener, we all experience this in one form or another. Can you imagine a housewife, a mom, whose whose husband and the children are out on a stormy night, and they're coming back from a journey of some distance away, and it's dark, and the lightning is flashing, and the thunder is roaring, and the rain is pouring down, and she's looking out the window of the house, and they're an hour and a half late, and she can't eat, and her heart is racing, and her hands are trembling, and she is scared to death. And then she sees the lights in the driveway, and she sees the smiling faces of her kids in the car waving at her, and suddenly all of those symptoms vanish. She's hungry. She's tired. She's happy. She wants to sing. She wants to jump for joy. What a change took place simply because of her worry turning into understanding. She knew the kids were safe. She believed they were in danger. Now she believes they're in faith. So we know what Dr. Jennings is talking about. We are totally aware of this. We have experienced it ourselves. Now, Dr. Jennings, I've got to ask this question because there are some who are poised to call at 800-775-4673, but I'll save them the moment of dialing. And here's the question. When I pray for a miracle and it doesn't happen, and something terrible transpires, did I pray wrong? Is God not listening to me? Is the person I was praying for not worthy of this attention? How am I supposed to deal with unanswered prayers for miracles?
I think the way we handle those best is when we remember the context of our circumstance. God is trying, and God's focus is our eternal destiny. Even if we get a miracle now at age 40, if Christ doesn't come back, we're still going to end up in the grave in 30, 40 years. God isn't interested simply in a 30 or 40 years. He wants us to be healthy and happy now. I'm not diminishing that. But he wants, more importantly than 30 or 40 years here, he wants eternal life for all of us. And so there are an infinite number of factors going on in our life and how our lives are impacting others that God is aware of that he takes into account in answering those types of prayers. Yeah. What I've discovered as I've looked through Scripture is that oftentimes the miracles that were not done for those people who were strong in faith. The miracles were done for the people who were weak in faith. Hmm. And if you look at Gideon when he asked for the fleece, a miracle, he didn't ask for that fleece miracle because his faith was strong, but he needed that miracle to encourage his faith, which was wavering. If you look throughout the Scriptures, the apostles, who are men of great faith, and many miracles were performed through them, but the miracles weren't for them. The miracles are for those who were just wavering or coming to the most rudimentary knowledge of the faith. And most of the apostles, with the exception of John, were martyred, and no miracle was done to save them. And so we find throughout Scripture that the men great in faith are often not delivered by God because they don't need the miraculous interventions to sustain them in their relationship with God. They trust him even when miraculous interventions don't come. And so I would say if you pray for a miracle and it doesn't come, it may be an evidence that your faith is of such quality that God knows that you're not going to waver in your trust with him, and he doesn't need to intervene in order to sustain you at this point. And then your trusting faith in him, just like the apostles' witness, even in dire circumstances, is a witness to those who don't yet know them and live their lives in fear. And in fear, they're terrified going through the traumas of life. They look over at someone that's going through a difficult circumstance that knows the Lord, but even in that circumstance, even with that illness, they see peace. They don't see fear. And it challenges them. What is it you know? How is it you're not afraid? How is it you're not terrified? And, well, it's because I know Jesus, and it's an opportunity to bring others. And so God oftentimes won't intervene in circumstances for those who are strong in faith, because it's an opportunity to demonstrate that even when painful things were happening to us, the love of Christ overcomes fear and casts fear out of our heart. We don't live in fear, and it's a witness to those who don't know him yet.
Oh, my. That is a powerful, powerful lesson. And, of course, while you were saying that, I was thinking about a man hanging on a cross who had asked God, you know, let this pass from me. I can't take this. But then he added that important statement, thy will be done. In other words, whatever happened to him, Christ was willing to accept the fact that God was in control, God knew better, and God had that eternal vision that so many times we don't. And, you know, friend, when we are sick, when we are in pain, our vision tends to be very tunnel-like and very short-sighted. I know this personally, that when we are suffering, We don't think in these vast terms. We need to start thinking about them now. We need to start believing in the God who is there during our sick bed, our death bed, our well bed. He is always there. Am I on the right track, Dr. Jennings?
You absolutely are. Absolutely are. It's really, the more we can get a heavenly perspective, then the easier it is to handle the difficulties of earth.
Well, as we come near the end of our program here today, Dr. Jennings, you have opened our eyes to some important truths, and I just want our listeners to know that you can find out more about this topic and others like it. You can listen to this program again if you wanted to catch a little bit more of it. You can go to www.comeandreason.com, and you can check out some of our past programs. They're all very, very good, as you can imagine, with Dr. Jennings here. They are excellent, and even the guests he brings in from time to time, these are all about trying to make you whole, listener, trying to make you have that optimum health of mind and body and spirit. And there are resources available there at Dr. Jennings' website. Once again, that is www.comeandreason.com, all one word, come and reason, and then .com. And also you'll find some resources, the book he's written, and some DVD presentations he's given, all very, very important things to make you have a healthy, happy life. That's very important to us. Dr. Jennings, we just have a couple minutes left on this program. Do you have some final words for us to guide us as we face the future that may have some illness in it?
Yeah, I always think for yourself. Whenever you go to a healthcare practitioner, hear what they have to say, evaluate the evidence for yourself, come to your own conclusions, ask questions, ask God for wisdom and discernment, ask for his healing hand in your life, practice the methods and principles that God has outlined for healthy living, and then have that balanced life where we're trusting him, doing what's reasonable, doing what's intelligent, but not surrendering our individuality and our judgment and decision-making to other people. The doctor is not there to make decisions for the patient. The doctor is there to give the patient the best information possible for the patient to make the decision and what's best for the treatment and health care of their own life. And sometimes that gets blurred, and some patients actually prefer someone like the doctor to make the decision for them. But I think that really is a mistake, that the patient needs to be the one who is making the decision for their own self-determination.
I think as we come in contact and as we learn the natural laws that God has put in place for us, that we can start making changes in our lives. We can start watching what we eat. We can start watching how we think and how we react, because there are laws in effect that can bring us down and can build us up. Same laws. And it depends on, like Dr. Jennings says, how we educate ourselves. And we hope that this program and programs like this on this network are educating you, listener, to be the best patient that you can be, so that when times come that are tough for you mentally and spiritually, physically, that you have the resources necessary to react to it. And, you know, as the writer in the Bible says, you know, Lord, help my unbelief. God says, come to me, but before you can come to me, you have to believe that I am and that I'm going to do what I say. Now we know why that belief is so very important. Dr. Jennings, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate your words of wisdom. And listener, thank you for listening. Until next week, this is Charles Mills with Dr. Timothy Jennings, inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today. God bless everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings, and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.